Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, good morning and pleasure to be with you this morning as we come together to remember our absent Lord. We're very used to the scriptures presenting us with images and with the idea of poetry and story and all of these things to help us appreciate the truth of God's word. And by using these examples, these images, we can use them to help us to guide our lives and our experiences before our God. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John, where the Lord Jesus uses images and the story to help us appreciate the lessons which he has to share with us. Gospel of John, chapter 10, we'll know, presents to us the Good Shepherd. He speaks of the sheep and of the sheepfold. Gospel of John and chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Jesus presents a parable, something which they understood not. He's using animals to give the idea of something else. He clearly speaking of his flock and he, the true shepherd. The sheep are precious to the shepherd to the point where he is prepared to lay down his life for those sheep. That the parable goes on to speak, comparing the true shepherd with the hireling. The hireling flees when the wolf comes, but the true shepherd is prepared to give his last that the sheep might be saved. And the example is clearly not lost on us, is it? We also see that the Lord, the shepherd, speaks of sheep who are not of this fold. So he's speaking to his own countrymen at the time, speaks also of those who are outside of the initial sheepfold. Other sheep, verse 16, I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And we can include ourselves, can't we, into that community of the other sheep. The faithful are presented as sheep in a number of places throughout the scripture. We can think of Isaiah 53, can't we? All we like sheep have gone astray. And there's a place in Matthew where he speaks of the sheep and the goats, those on his left hand and those on his right. Well, the idea of sheep and shepherds comes through the Old Testament in a couple of places. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 74. Let's just follow through this idea of the sheep as used in the scripture. See where we fit in these things. Psalm 74, just verse 1. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? We can see readily, can't we, how the psalmist speaks of his people, the sheep of thy pasture. and Psalm 79. Psalm 79 and commencing at verse 9. Help us, Psalm 79 verse 9, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which he shed. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those that are appointed to die, and render unto our neighbours sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks for ever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. So again, the psalmist presents himself and his people as the flock. We, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture. The recognition that they are God's people, God's sheep. And Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We know this psalm particularly well. It forms a very popular hymn. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So with those particular thoughts in mind, recognizing the people as the sheep of the pasture, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 23. And Jeremiah 23 is a condemnation of those who should have been caring for the flock of God. Jeremiah opens, woe. It's woe to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Woe. Alas, it's the idea of a misfortune, misery, pain, judgment. Judgment against whom? Judgment against the pastors that would destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. We're not terribly comfortable, are we, with the idea of some of the church hierarchical titles, the bishop, deacon, and so on. They're rather unfamiliar, uncomfortable terms for us. But this pastor idea here in Jeremiah 23 and verse 1, I wonder whether that indicates something rather more to us and something we're perhaps more comfortable with. We think of pastoral care, don't we? And I don't know about New Zealand, but in the UK, schools have pastoral care. There is something that is given to take particular care beyond the academic. It's about the person, about their relationship, and about their particular needs. And I think that's going to be important for us here. Well, these particular pastors are being judged not only for their lack of care, but worse than that, for deliberately destroying and driving away the flock. What does it say? Verse 2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And the pastor here has the idea of feeding. And we see in verse 1 we have the word pastor. In verse 2, we have the word pastors and feed, and pastors and feed is exactly the same word in the Hebrew. And if we move on into verse 4, it says, I will set up shepherds over them. Again, same word. And they then, start the sentence again, I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. Again, that word feed is the same word as we find as pastors and feed in verse 2, and the same as pastors in verse 1. We see the relationship of feeding, guiding, ruling, shepherding. They're all interwoven together, aren't they? Well, there were those in the community who were, or who took to themselves the responsibility to feed and to provide the pasture for the flock. We know from other places, and particularly we can think of Malachi, that it was the responsibility of the priests. The priests' lips should keep knowledge. Keep your finger in Jeremiah. I need to turn to Malachi. You may do so also. I haven't written down the full expression that I want. Malachi and chapter 2 and verse 7 we know well. The priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Verse 8 goes on to say, but ye are departed out of the way. Note this, ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord God. There was a condemnation in Malachi's day of the priests, those that had the responsibility to care and to shepherd the flock. Back in Jeremiah 23, the pastors were being judged because they had scattered and destroyed the sheep of my pasture. Well, what should they have been doing? Verse 2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock. And to scatter here is to dash in pieces, to break. But of course, the reverse, what they should have been doing is building. They should have been protecting, caring for the sheep of the pasture. Verse 2 goes on, driven them away, and it indicates aggression and force. The pastors were required to include, to bring into the flock, not to drive them away. Verse 2 goes on to say, and have not visited them. And there's something extra going on here, isn't there? This isn't just a passive thing. This is going out and visiting. It required activity. It required going out and finding those that had been scattered, those that had been lost, those that had been driven away. Visiting was something that was required. And the thing I want us to think about for a moment is that we are, as it were, at one and the same time, both shepherds and sheep, aren't we? We have a collective responsibility to include one another, to protect, to care for, to feed, to visit. That's our job, isn't it? To care one for the other. Now, another place in the Old Testament where this theme is presented for us is Ezekiel and chapter 34. Again, I'm sure we'll know the theme of Ezekiel 34 very well. Word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? It's an unnecessary question, isn't it? The shepherds are responsible for feeding the flocks. But what are they doing? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. They were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek for them. It's the same woe, isn't it? The shepherds were feeding themselves at the expense of others. And there's this increased intensity in the prophet Ezekiel's words. They weren't fed. They therefore became diseased. They weren't strengthened. They became sick. The sick, they became broken. And they were considered useless and were driven away, forced out of the ecclesia. Being weak, diseased and without leadership, they became the prey to wild beasts. And it really isn't difficult for us to see the spiritual as well as the practical implications of the words of the prophet Ezekiel. The spiritual and core values in our heart should drive us to take care one for the other in both spiritual but also in practical needs. And I say that by and large, I think we're pretty good at the spiritual things. We're really good in Christadelphia at getting that spiritual meat and the strengthening, getting nourishment from the Word. We're really good at that, aren't we? Our daily Bible readings give us a good foundation. Our Bible classes and so on, they give us that spiritual growth and strength. But by and large, and perhaps I speak for the UK, or perhaps I speak for myself, by and large, I submit that we're rather less good at the practical things. We're rather less good at taking that extra bit of care for our brothers and sisters in practical matters. And Sister Rachel and I were on holiday in Cornwall some little while ago, and I saw a notice outside a coffee shop which read, and you've perhaps seen this, your beliefs don't make you a better person, your behaviour does. And I rather like that. Your beliefs don't make you a better person, your behaviour does. The way in which you behave demonstrates, and I think this is the important thing, what you believe. Because it's our beliefs that drive our behaviour. Our beliefs matter, but they have to be translated into action to do something. And that works in both a spiritual and a practical plane. And if we believe that Jesus is our shepherd and he is our leader, then shouldn't we be learning to live and behave in the way in which he did? It's a simple question in some ways, but I guess it's pretty challenging, isn't it? You see, the principles of Ezekiel 34 have practical implications for the way in which we conduct ourselves. We look at Ezekiel 34, it seems incongruous to read at the end of verse 4 that with force and with cruelty ye have ruled them. And surely that has no part in our experience. Can't possibly have, can it? Well, possibly not. but the history of division and conflict within Christadelphia over generations might make us wonder sometimes if we always display that right spirit for our brother and sister. Well, the practical outworking of these principles of shepherding and so on are illustrated in the words and really quite searching words of the Lord Jesus, and alluded to it partly with Matthew's Gospel record and chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25 we have the division between those on the right hand and those on the left. Verse 31, "And the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. The king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me." These are practical things, aren't they? Things which we should be doing, caring for one another. And so the sheep who are able to implement into their lives the principles of the shepherd may hope for acceptance at his judgment seat. Surely that's implicit in what we read there. When we read in Jeremiah, the Lord, through the prophet, condemned the shepherds because they failed to visit those who were driven away. And with that sort of idea, it seems a fairly obvious link to turn forward to the book of James and to read probably a single verse. Epistle of James and chapter 1. You're there before me, I'm sure. Verse 27. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." We have, as we said earlier on, a dual and a collective role as both shepherds and sheep, to help, to encourage one another in both spiritual and practical needs. Includes visiting those that are fatherless and the widows in their affliction. But to follow also the great shepherd who, what was it John 10 said, was prepared to lay down his life for the sheep. And we are those sheep. We're considering one who laid down his life so that we might have life. If you're in James, back a page, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. This theme goes through the scriptures so very widely. "Now the God of peace, brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, we may sometimes fall into the category of sheep being led astray, mightn't we? Well, we come very particularly to remember our great shepherd of the sheep, the one who gave his life for the sheep. Isaiah 53 is our concluding reference. Isaiah 53. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. It's our opportunity to reflect on our responsibility as sheep to follow our Lord Jesus and his principles, as shepherds to care for one another, as we reflect upon the giving of the life of the great shepherd, that we may have the opportunity of life. Thank you.